In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary. In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello, girls and boys, and gather round for the first chapter of the Haunted Counties of England episodes. Hope you're all eager to go. I'm sure you are. We are.
Yeah, we are.
Actually,
excited.
We're looking forward to it.
I am quite looking forward to it. So this week, we're starting with the county of Bedfordshire. So Bedfordshire is a ceremonial county in the east of England, and it borders four other counties. They are Cambridgeshire, Northamptonshire, Buckinghamshire and Hertfordshire. It is the 14th most densely populated county in the UK, in England, and has two main towns. They are Luton and Bedford, respectively. Now, the first recorded case of Bedford being used as a name was in 1011 AD, and it was the name Baden Forskir, okay, which basically means Badersford, or river crossing.
So right. It's Ford being crossing.
Ford, yeah. So that's where it comes from. The county is steeped in so much history, I would say pretty much paranormal activity is a given in a county this old. So we'll begin with one of the most famous stories there is in the county, and that is from the small market town of Leighton Buzzard. Now, Leighton Buzzard is in central Bedfordshire, and it has a population of around 37,000, so it's a fair-sized town for the UK. Now, this incident involves a man named Roy. Now, Roy was driving his van in the area of Leighton Buzzard by Pedders Lane and Station Road, where he noticed a young man hitchhiking. Roy offered a lift to this pale-faced man. He said, described him as having a very pale face, dark hair, and the man was described to have an unusually long face. The man did not speak to Roy, but merely pointed in the direction of which he wanted to travel. Roy, obliged, drove in the direction he pointed. Now, midway through the journey, Roy turned to the gentleman to offer him a cigarette, but the man had vanished. Roy stopped the car to look for any sign of the man, but there was nothing. No noise, no evidence of a hitchhiker, no human activity, nothing. So do you think you would be brave enough to pick up a hitchhiker in Leighton Buzzard?
No.
No, me neither. Now, just to the north of Leighton Buzzard is an even smaller town. It's a town called Amptill. Now, Amptill is steeped in history. It dates back to having a castle in the 15th century called Amptill Castle. And it was built by Sir John Cornwall. Now, the castle unfortunately no longer exists, but there is a great cross that was erected there in the 1770s, which marks the spot of where the castle used to stand. It's now in a place called Amptill Great Park. The castle was actually a favourite of King Henry VIII. He visited there many times, and his wife Catherine of Aragon actually lived at Amptill Castle from 1531 until her divorce from Henry in 1533. Now, on this site in particular, there have been many reports of a figure that resembles the shape of a knight. Now, these reports do vary. There are some that say that the knight is dressed in all black. There are some that say the knight is clad in full armour with a very bright coloured sword and a lance. And there's even a policeman's report from 1965. Now, this one, he does suggest that there is a vague shape in the park. Okay, so that's not really, I wouldn't say that's a concrete, evidence. But all of the reports do have one thing in common. And that is that this apparition was definitely on horseback.
Right.
Okay. All of the reports also testify to the man riding towards the stream and disappearing by the stream. Also in the town of Amptill, there is a place called Horton House. Now, this was originally built as a dower, or a dower house, and that's basically just a house, essentially, for a dowager, or a posh woman. Yeah. So, this was originally built in 1615 and is now a Grade 1 listed home. It's a ruin of its former self, so that's why it's a Grade 1. It was built for Mary Herbert Dowager, Countess of Pembroke. Now, Mary died from smallpox just after the creation of the house. So she did live there for a little bit, but she passed away. And the house was passed on to a family called the Bruce family in 1624. And Thomas Bruce, in particular, had to leave England and his family home during the English Civil War due to his loyalties to the Crown and James II. So when Oliver Cromwell won, he obviously had to leave. He was exiled. He never actually returned to the property, and unfortunately for his family, the property was sold in 1739 to a man named John Russell. Now, John Russell was the 4th Duke of Bedford, and the house passed to his grandson. It didn't pass to his son, because his son, also called John Russell, actually died of a hunting incident in the grounds of the house. So he died on the grounds, he died on the grounds, but they believe his body was returned to the property. Mm. So he had an accident.
Makes sense.
He was returned to the property. They don't know whether he died on the grounds or actually in the property itself. But the property then passed to his grandson. By 1794, however, the grandson had removed everything from the house, including the roof.
Right.
No idea why he took the roof, but he took everything out of the house. So when he died without an heir in 1802, the house was just left as a ruin. Now, it is possible that Mary Herbert died in the house, and like I said, very possible that John Russell Jr. also died in the house. A Haunted House has been a paranormal hotspot for many, many decades, and there are lots of reports of people seeing a little girl standing in the doorway. There are also many reports of people seeing and hearing a horse-drawn carriage pulling up. These reports have been described as full-bodied apparitions, dark shadowy figures, but figures that quickly disappear once they're spotted. Now, Clop Hill is an even smaller town. It has a population of under 2,000. Clop Hill was even reported in the Doomsday Book of 1086. So, it's a very small place, and is home to a very, very haunted church. Now, this church is called the Church of St. Mary the Virgin, or St. Mary's Old Church. It has two different names. Now, this church was actually built in the 1350s, but was replaced in the 1840s. Now, unfortunately, the church has fallen into disrepair, but the paranormal activity at it is still very high. The church has actually been abandoned for around 170 years, and it has been the victim to some quite obvious things like vandalism, looting, things like that. But more interestingly, in the 1960s, it was actually a location for satanic rituals. Yeah. So the vast hauntings that happen at this church now are put down to the fact that black magic and satanic practices happened in the premises. There are reports of people seeing dark shadows and mysterious hooded monks walking inside and outside of this place of worship. Another suggestion to the eeriness around the property is that although there was obviously some dark magic practice there, the church actually faces west. Now, most churches faced east, they face the rising sun, and it's supposed to be a symbol to turning towards the light and the life of Christ. So it's suggested that by facing away from the sun is turning away from the light and actually facing the gates of hell. So yeah. So that would explain why there are some very creepy figures walking around.
I wonder why they did
Clop
that.
Hill. No, I don't know.
Maybe they just started building it and realised they'd gotten the wrong way around. It's like, shit, it's too late to go back now.
Yeah. Could be that. And I mean, maybe that has something to do with the reason the satanic rituals were there in the 60s, maybe they realised that actually this church is facing the wrong way. We're going to move to the most populated town in Bedfordshire now, which is Luton. Now, Luton is not an extremely old town, but it is the highest populated town in Bedfordshire. But it is home to some very creepy goings on. One of these is at a place called Wardown House. Now, this is a private residence that was built in 1872. So in the grand scheme of things, it's quite a modern building. It was actually turned into a Victorian museum in 1931, and a museum that is still in use today. So what it does, it's a museum now that shows Victorian life, and it shows a lot of things that basically tried to keep up with the decor from the 1870s. Wardown House is a Grade 2 listed building, and has got quite a rich history considering it's a modern-ish property. So it was started off as a family home, but in World War I it actually became a hospital for wounded soldiers. And now, obviously, it's gone into a museum. So it has a very spooky history. Now, one of the reports from Wardown House was that late night, there were two workers called out to do some heating repair on the property. Now, they were walking through the property and they saw a woman in a dark dress carrying a lot of keys on a keyring, like a janitor. And this key was attached to her belt. They watched her walk up the staircase and they attempted to follow her. When they got to the top of the staircase, she had vanished. Now, it was confirmed by staff the following day that no one else was in the building that evening, so I doubt very much they returned that evening to finish off the work. There have been many reports in this property of disembodied footsteps, temperature drops, and the uneasy feeling most people get around paranormal activity, and all of these seem to be focused around that staircase. So they all tend to be in that one particular area of the building. Now, there is a tale that suggests there was a Victorian housekeeper who drowned herself in a lake nearby after being jilted by her lover. But nobody knows who this woman is or if it's her footsteps that can be heard in the darkness. I would also assume that a housekeeper probably doesn't carry a ring of keys. So there must be another story.
They would.
They would, you reckon?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Hmm.
They would have to have...
access.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it could be this woman, we don't know.
I mean, what's good about that is the detail, you know. When people think of ghosts, they think of this wispy, white, you know, smoke-like thing.
Mm.
Yeah, not always, you know, like obviously in that example there, those guys saw someone that, you know, is as clear as you sitting,
yeah,
as close to me now, you know. If you had a bunch of keys, I'd see them.
Yeah.
You know, that's fairly lifelike, so...
I think that's what sort of hits it, and you know, that, like you say, you know, you don't always know who the ghosts are.
No.
So for this one, we're actually going to go to probably the most famous town in Bedfordshire, and that is the town of Bedford. So Bedford is the second biggest town, and it was actually founded on a river. It was founded on the River Great Ouse, so Bedford, the ford of the river, that's where the town gets its name. Now this town is extremely old. It predates medieval England. And it's thought to have been the burial place of King Offa, who was the king of Mercia. So this was before England even became England, you know, where it was split into...
Yeah, still fashion.
Yeah, so this is an extremely old town. Bedford is really old. In contrast to that, this haunting actually comes from an extremely modern building. It actually comes from a cinema. So Cineworld on Aspects Leisure Park in Bedford stands on a ground that was once Newnham Priory.
That's your problem.
A monastery built in the 12th century. Although this multi-complex is now home to families looking for fun days out, it was once the home of robe-wearing monks. A legend says that Newnham Priory has left its very spooky past inside the Cineworld cinema. Both visitors and staff have reported seeing ghostly figures in the shape of hooded monks wandering around the complex. A Newnham Priory was founded in 1165 by Simon de Beauchamp after one of his monks was accused of murder and they were forced to leave their parish of St. Paul's Church in the town centre, and they were forced out to this outskirts of town. In 1348, the Black Death came along and killed most of the inhabitants of Newnham Priory, if not all of them. And this led to the rapid decline of the monastery. When Henry VIII became head of the church, the priory was signed over to him. And in 1540, when he took it on, he was unable to save it. Now, they actually pensioned off all the monks. They gave them a payout and told them to leave. And the priory had a few more owners after that, but none of any real interest. It sort of was essentially on its decline and it became a dilapidated building. and then it was destroyed and replaced. Now, in the Cineworld complex itself, Screen 4 and the toilet are the main focus of activities for the hooded monk spirits that live there. Many cold spots and strange sounds are reported in these two locations. The doors of Screen 4 have violently swung open of their own accord, even when they are bolted shut. Customers have spoken about scratching noises and even the feeling of ghostly hands brushing past them and touching their legs in the middle of the cinema. Seat 8 on the first row apparently refuses to stay upright. So cinema seats normally ping back upright. This one refuses to stay up. It's constantly pushed down. People have heard chains and whispers in the dark, even when the screen is empty and there is no film playing. So when the crew is in there, probably cleaning up or just generally walking around, making sure there's no one in there, they can hear chains being rattled and whispers and things like that in the darkness. There is a report of a man who hung himself from a tree in the grounds of the old priory, which happens to be exactly where Screen 4 is on the map. So some reports suggest that even before it was a cinema, so these are some of the elderly people that live in Bedford who remember what it was before it was a cinema, and they've actually reported that before it was a cinema, it was a swimming pool or a leisure centre. And they said that there were stories from that leisure centre that probably date back nearly 100 years now, of the lockers in the swimming pool and the swimming baths being violently slammed shut during the night. So do you think that you would potentially want to go and see a movie in Screen 4? Or even
if you're into horror movies.
I mean, that would be pretty good, wouldn't it? Or even sit on seat 8, row A. I'm not sure. Yeah,
I like how the monks are in the toilet, though.
Yeah, I think that's a bit... Yeah, I suppose that could be where their toilet was in the monastery. Well, I don't know.
Either that or they're just abstinent for that long.
Yeah, they've been holding it in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stay with Bedford for this one, and we're actually going to talk about probably one of the most famous ghost stories. I thought I'd finish Bedford with probably the most famous one, and that is the ghost of Black Tom. So this is not the Marvel character, because there is a Black Tom in Marvel. No. Well, this is Black Tom. He was a highwayman, so very much like Dick Turpin. But Black Tom was, I would say, a modern-day Robin Hood. Right. So he was quite loved by the people of Bedford, and they even petitioned when he was caught to have him released. Yeah. So this is at the junction of Tavistock, Union Street, and Clapham Road. Okay. And this is, it's now a roundabout, but it used to be the gallows for Bedford.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it was an execution and burial site for the 19th century highwayman. Black Tom was actually buried with a stake driven through his heart to prevent his return. And this is because when he was caught, he actually went for a drink with it was allowed one last drink, and he said to the landlord, they took him away halfway through his drink. So they said, you know, he was drinking, I think it was a glass of wine.
And he was hanging it out.
Yeah, of course he was.
Hanging the bag out.
Yeah, and he
didn't want to go, you know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't want to go either. So he was drinking his wine. He didn't finish his wine.
No.
And he didn't pay for it, obviously. So he said...
Why would he?
No. So he actually said to the landlord, I'll be back to finish that drink.
Right.
And that's why they put a stake through his heart.
Make sure he didn't.
Yeah.
Because he used to do that with vampires, didn't they?
Yeah. So they didn't want him to return from the dead. Now, he was a highwayman, like I said. He used to rob people. He never actually harmed anybody. So this is one of the stories of him. He never actually hurt. this is one of the stories. Yeah. So this is a legend story. And they say that he never actually harmed anybody. He never killed anybody. And he always let women go. So if he went for a carriage and there was a lady in the carriage, he'd let the carriage go.
Struggle nowadays, then, wouldn't he?
So he was, I suppose, a gentleman thief, if you want to go with that story. And a lot of the money he stole, he actually gave back to the people. He was, like I said, he was a modern day Robin Hood.
People he stole it from, though.
No, he gave it to the poor. And that's why he was quite well loved, but he wasn't very rich. So although you would assume a highwayman stealing money is going to be quite rich, he wasn't that rich. Now, back in these days, you could pay off the jailer. So to get bail, so this is where like bail started, you could pay the jailer and the jailer would let you go. Now his punishment should have been to have been sent to the colonies or to be sent to Australia or something like that. He basically, what he'd done was not worth the hanging that he got. So when he was arrested, there was a big petition for him to be released, for him to get a lighter sentence, but he didn't have any money to pay the jailer, and therefore the jailer didn't tell the judge and his sentence was carried out. When he was hung, obviously that he was hung very quickly. So a lot of stories in these days were slow hangings, where they would just tie him up and just let him dangle until they died. And this is where people would come and pull on the legs to kill him. This was a quick drop and break the neck. So this was a story of Black Tom. This is how he died. In the 1960s, in broad daylight, witnesses claim to have seen a gruesome figure with a broken neck staggering down the road, who vanished into thin air seconds later.
Ooh.
Yeah, there are also stories that from the 1990s of a couple that saw the same thing, but just assumed they weren't from Bedford. They didn't know the story, and they assumed that it was a drunk man in fancy dress. Because they saw, obviously, the old-fashioned clothing, he's staggering because he's got a broken neck. So there are some real scary stories with this. There's a possible sighting of Black Tom near a private residence on Gladstone Street. This is in the mid-1980s. And a man awoke to find what he thought was an intruder in his bedroom. The shouting man woke his wife. And both witnesses said that they saw a dark, shadowy figure in a black coat, a floppy hat to the opposite side, like a floppy hat to one side of his head, and his head was tilted. And they said that they were unaware of the Black Tom legend at the time. So they'd seen a man with sort of his head tilted to one side, a floppy hat sort of almost falling off his head, which I would assume would have been probably the bag that or the camp the. The Hessian sack that's put over their head when they're hung.
Maybe been in his clothes when he died.
Yeah, so that's the story of Black Tom, which I think is probably out of the stories that I've found for Bedfordshire. I would say that is probably the most compelling. That and the Cineworld. So Bedford to me has got to be the prime location in Bedfordshire for any hauntings. I'd say Clop Hill is quite a famous one.
Cineworld one with the, you know, that consecrated ground that, you know, it's been there through various different guises, building wise.
Yeah.
And yet they've all had sort of consistent levels of poltergeist activity. So there's, you know.
There's something there.
And again, why is it always monks and nuns? And I'm sure when we go through these, what is the 46 counties we're doing?
48.
I would say majority of those. I'm going to stick my neck out like Black Tom, and I'm going to say that we'll probably find at least 20
of them.
Those counties will have a monk story.
Oh, I'd say more than that.
Yeah,
unless you're talking the modern sort of like modern counties like Lincolnshire. Well, Lincolnshire's quite old,
really,
but
no, there aren't any modern counties in that respect. So
no, Merseyside's quite a modern monks. One, isn't it? I don't know. We'll find out when we get to it. We'll find out when we get to it.
I just said 20, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I would say probably. I would say I'm going to go with 40. I'm going to double you. I'm going to say there's going to be 40.
I think every time we do a monk story or mention monk, people at home should have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Every time Monk is said on the podcast, you'll have to have a drink. Unless you're driving, don't drink and drive.
Yeah, I'll drink with you anyway.
Yeah. So that is Bedford. Now, there isn't that many stories in Bedford. There are lots of little stories, you know, like small ghost stories, but I thought for a start that would be one of the better, like, go with the main stories that people know. Now I have actually spoken to my cousin today, so I mentioned this to you earlier. Now they actually owned a pub which is just on the border of Bedfordshire and Buckinghamshire. Now I thought it was in Bedfordshire. Turns out it's actually in Buckinghamshire. It's just on the border. So that my cousin's actually got some stories from that pub. They were going to be in this episode, but they're not now. They're going to have to go into the Buckingham one. So this episode was going to be a little bit longer because we had some listener stories to come in. So,
like I say, those little tiny stories, they will be going. You know, obviously, if you're listening to the paid for show, either Patreon or Apple, then you've probably already aired those extra shows, those extra stories, because we would have put them in.
Yeah, so
if you're listening on the free, you've got the main bulk of the story.
The main bulk of the stories. There will be extra episodes or extra things added in to the Patreon episodes. So, well, just before we leave you for this episode, we do have me and Lee have come up with a brainwave to give something back to you guys. And that is through our tip jar that we have, which there will be in the show notes. I know a lot of people have sent us money through that, so thank you very much for those of you who have. And we've come up with an idea, and that is that if you enjoy the episode, whatever episode it is, whether it's this one, whether it's all of them, whatever ones you enjoy, if you put 50 pence into the tip jar, which will go into a collection, and when we get to £1,000 in the tip jar, we will be giving away a reward for one lucky listener. So if you put £1 in, for example, then your name will be entered twice. If you put in £2, it'll be entered four times, etc., etc.
Stop there, because you'll lose the maths.
I won't be entered. That's as far as my maths goes. And when we get to £1,000, we will be giving out a T-shirt for Bizarre Tales and also a £100 gift card for Amazon for anybody. So for 50p, you have a chance of winning a T-shirt and a £100 gift card.
And I would say the T-shirt is actually more
valuable. I would say that, T-shirt is far more valuable than the Amazon gift card. So that's the plan. So that will be in the show notes, and for anyone who puts it in, we will put your name to one side. This might take a few months to do it, and it also potentially could take a week. It depends how many people decide to enter the competition. So if you want to enter it, then it'll be in the show notes for you.
All you've got to do is just donate into the tip jar, and you know, if you appreciate what we do, obviously we're here to entertain. If we've always said, but if there's a story you want us to cover, you know, all that sort of stuff, then you know where we are, supernaturalpod@gmail.com, or hit us up on Facebook, let us know, and you know, we'll try and give back, you know what I mean? So like I say, if we can make £1,000 in tips, then obviously we're going to give some of it back.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is. So,
absolutely.
Reward that generosity.
Yeah, and on another quick little note, just before we say goodbye to you all, we mentioned it in the last show, and that is just anybody who has a story from any county. Like I said, we will have a Buckinghamshire one coming very soon. That is the fourth episode, I believe, Bedfordshire, Berkshire, Bristol, Buckinghamshire. So it'll be the fourth episode in this series. There will be a listener story, but if you are in any county in the UK, get us a story across, because it might take a month, it might take 2 months, but we will get your story on your county.
Yeah. So even if you've just heard like a local story and you want to voice it up,
Yeah.
Because we'd love to get different accents from around the UK, especially for our American listeners. I think that'd be quite interesting to hear the contrast between, you know, north, south, west, east, even. So if you know, if you want to voice that up, you can do it via Facebook Messenger.
Yeah,
you can actually record a voice clip on there, and we can play that.
And it's a pretty good quality as well.
It's not too bad, to be fair. Obviously, you can send it by email if you wish. It's not, it doesn't matter which, but or you know, if you've got a particular favourite story from your account, you just want to share that. You know, a link, or you know, maybe you've got a book or whatever it is. You know, if you've got the story and you write out and you want to send it, we'll include it. So.
Yeah.
Everybody listening in the UK lives in a county, so majority of people, I would say, have heard something. So there you go. That's our call to arms, as it should be said, I think.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening. Obviously, next chapter will be Berkshire.
Yeah.
So you know, stay tuned for that. Additional content for these counties will go on to the Patreon and the Apple subscribers. So if you are a member on there and in the secret, not so secret, secret club is what we called it in the end.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, if you are a member of the secret, not so secret, secret club, then you will be getting additional content. So obviously that's another way you can support the show. But again, you know, the tip jar is there, and you know, get a raffle ticket. Get yourself a raffle ticket.
Yeah.
You never know. You might get an am joint. You might get the Amazon. One of you will.
Yeah, one of you definitely will.
Yeah. So, that being said, thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you on the other side.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary. In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary. In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.